Okay, boys and girls, moms and dads and children of all ages, we are up and almost alive, and it's the Area Fishing Report, and I'm spectacularly excited today.
You're just beat up and dragged down, but it's all good.
But I really like the way the back of the storage's turning out.
Yeah, everything about it's turning out.
You know, but some idiot will steal one of the outboards. Oh, they're old. They've got to be worth a lot of money. No, they're just old.
Yeah.
They don't run. They're just cool to look at.
Right.
But they're not worth anything. Right. But that means some idiot will come up and steal them. But yeah. I don't know. We'll deal with that when it comes.
Right.
But in the meantime, it looks really cool.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about the new look and got the front of the store. All I got left to do is put the sign up. And you know what's funny is I think 99.8% of our customers are so autopilot that they haven't even noticed there's no sign there.
Right.
It's like, what'd you do? It's fine. Nope. I haven't even mentioned it.
Nope.
Either that or they're just getting used to me and they're like, well, he's doing something. So
a little bit of both, I think. The older customers definitely are, you're up to your normal projects.
Yeah. He's doing something weird again. I wonder what he's doing this time.
Yeah, exactly.
So, real room is starting to turn out nice.
Yeah, it's coming along.
Yeah, it's Monday. We get a little more carpenter work to rearrange some shelving and stuff. But then I think it's going to look pretty good. We can hang 100 reels on the ceiling now, so.
That'll work. It's just a matter of the boxes. We'll get that
figured out. No, I got the boxes thing figured out. That's what we're fixing Monday.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to have a ladder to get to them.
Yeah.
But I put the shelves up, but they didn't put them up exactly the way I wanted to. So I'm going to get Chuck to come in. And, you know, Chuck from Chuck's Custom Carpentry, if you ever need somebody to do a kitchen, a bathroom, a house, a deck, or whatever, give Chuck a call.
He'll make it work out, right?
Yeah, he's awesome. I come up with all these crazy ideas, and Chuck kind of cringes when he sees my name on the caller ID. He says, what are you doing now? Doesn't your brain ever stop? I said, oh, yeah, I go brain dead pretty often.
Right.
But it's the in-between times that causes all the problems.
Right, exactly.
So, Peace River System, what's going on?
It's doing pretty good. It's a lot of snook moving around. I mean, a lot of snook moving down from upriver. Getting reports from above Arcadia with some bigger snook in some of the deeper holes and bends. And then as you get down towards the Navigator over to Shell Creek, you've got snook, a few oddball redfish, and a lot of tarpon showing up all over the place up there. You know, from 10-pounders to 60-pounders. So it's been pretty impressive up there. It's just a matter of finding the bend in the water where they're concentrated, especially for the tarpon. And this past week it seems like the outgoing tide was a little bit more productive than the incoming tide, but that can change from day to day, as we know.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about I-75? What are they doing there?
Some juvenile tarpon there also, all around the bridge, and even a couple of those islands right there have them. Some snook on the north end of the island, or north end of the bridge, a couple of oddball redfish, some whiting, and some black drum up and down the whole bridge pilings. So that's actually been a lot more consistent this week. I think part of that's due because of the wind that we've had. Some guys were just trying to stay up there and out of the wind, and surprising enough, catching some decent whiting for the first time in a long time. You know, the guy showed me a picture. He had an isopod, which is just a little critter that kind of...
Is that what was eating the fish?
No, I don't know what's eating the fish. I sent the pictures to Greg, and he's going to get back to me on it, because at first I thought it was barnacles, but it's just too round of a spot on the black drum in particular.
No, on the whiting.
On the whiting, they were in gills. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, usually you see those square bug-looking things.
Yeah.
I'm used to those, but I don't know what those things were.
These things are like a big... They kind of look like a big roly-poly bug from up north.
Yeah.
Kind of like that, and it's an isopod. But it's strange to see multiples of them on the fish the way we're seeing with pictures of them. So Greg's going to find out how parasitic they really are.
Yeah, I've never seen that before on fish down here.
Hmm. seen it on a couple, but not on several in a week from different people.
Yeah, I wonder what's up. That's the weird part. How did they explode the population? I mean, they're just...
Something changed.
They're disgusting little creatures.
Yes, they are.
They're really disgusting little critters.
They almost... At first, I can't remember the name of them, but there's a critter that used to live inside the mouth of, like, Manhaden and Threadfins and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know what that is.
That's what I thought it was at first, but then I'm like, eh, this one looks a little different, so...
It's really weird how a bug can learn to live in a fish's mouth.
Yeah.
And not get eaten.
Yes.
How does he stay in there and not get chewed up and eaten?
Sits in there and just latches on and holds on tight. Guess if you got a good anchor, you're not going to move.
Yeah. I guess with no fingers to get him out.
Yeah.
Thank God I was born a human. I got five fingers. I can pull stuff out. I can all kinds of things with my hands and fingers.
No kidding.
I can't even imagine, you know, what the world would be like if you couldn't just reach in with a finger and get something off.
No, neither could I.
Yeah, nature's cruel.
Yes, it is.
Very cruel. All right, 41 Bridge.
41 Bridge. Got some tarpon around it, both at night and even a few in the morning into late morning. And those are assorted size fish from 10 pounds to 80 pounds. Snook are starting to move in a little bit better too. Those have been mostly in the early mornings and the evenings at both the northbound and the southbound side. A few black drum, an oddball trout here and there, a couple more mangrove snappers started to cooperate just a little bit better around the bumpers and some of the pilings. A handful of whiting. There's been a couple of Spanish mackerel also caught there. They've been super incidental bycatch, but there's been some bait moving in and out through there, so the Spanish seem to be following them. They're just not big numbers of Spanish.
Okay. Swinging around over to Lashley Pier.
Snook at night. Some mangrove snapper. A handful of trout. Been a couple of sheep's head being caught right underneath the pier. And that's about it that I've heard of this week. A little quieter on the reports this week.
Okay. And it's weird because this store is really busy.
Right.
I mean, you know, we're... I mean, the number of people going fishing right now is...
Scary.
Scary. I mean, it's huge. It's a lot of people.
Pretty impressive.
I mean, just with what's coming here, and then add in all the other bait and tackle stores and people who don't stop for the day and stuff. There's a lot of people going out on water.
Yes, there
is. But it's beautiful out. This is when you want to be in Florida. This is the perfect weather, perfect time. The water's great. It's not too cold, not too hot.
Right.
I was supposed to get up to 90 today.
Yeah, it's supposed to get toasty. Supposed to get toasty, and then tomorrow the same thing, and I think Tuesday we got a mild front coming down, so it's dropping it back down to like the low 80s.
Good deal. We could use it. Bayshore Pier. I know people are fishing out there.
A couple of whiting, a couple of silver trout, and a couple of small bulls / black tips. Pictures are pretty lousy, so it's hard to tell which one they are, but my guess is more likely bulls than black tips. One guy did launch a tarpon into the air the other day while trying to catch shark and cobia, but I haven't heard of a single cobia being caught off of there yet, which is kind of strange. But they're at least fishing it and finally got a couple reports.
Yeah. And it's funny because Bayshore historically was the big fish pier.
Yeah.
If you wanted smaller fish, you would go to Lashley or one of the other ones, but if you wanted big fish, you always went over to Bayshore.
Right.
You might wait a little longer, but you got a much better odds of catching a tarpon, shark, you know, bigger fish like that.
Right.
What's going on in Port Charlotte Canals?
Port Charlotte Canals are doing good depending on which canal you're on. There's a lot of jacks cruising through there all the way up to like 15 pounds. Some guys have been catching some nice snook, throwing topwaters along the seawalls and doing fairly well. Some decent mangrove snapper, a few oddball sheep's head. And then the juvenile tarpon have been sporadically all over the place. I'm hearing of them in the Pelham Waterway, the Countryman Waterway, East Spring Lake, even West Spring Lake. There's been a couple reports of tarpon rolling around in there.
Okay, Elgin Bean Pier.
Elgin Bean's been a little quiet this week for reports. Got only two. You got a few sheep's head, a couple of small trout, some jacks in the morning. Some juvenile tarpon around the bridge, both at night and in the morning. And then the snook bite seemed to have slowed down, or I just got fewer reports of them this week. I'm not sure which. I'm going to go with the latter, that just didn't get very many reports. But there's been a lot of little minnows around there, a lot of little fry. Guys were saying it looked like it was raining with little teeny, like, inch and a half bait just kind of scattering.
Guy was then asking me, well, how do I know what these little fish are, these little tiny minnows and stuff? I said, well, if they're too small to identify, I probably wouldn't use them for bait.
Right, exactly.
You know? Okay, Mac River area?
All over from Tippecanoe all the way through the cutoff, some nice snook, a few trout, some jacks. Most of the jacks over there that I'm hearing about are smaller. There has been a few redfish here and there scattered up underneath the bushes. And then I got a report of some pompano down on the southern entrance of the cutoff, kind of almost like Hog Island Harbor side area. Wasn't a lot, but the guy caught a couple of them. And all the snook that have been being caught back in there, they're either catching them on white bait or the larger ones are being caught on cut ladyfish. So take your pick. It hasn't been too bad.
Okay, and that's going to bring us over to Big South Cove Canals. Now, next week, Wednesday night, we're doing a talk out there. We're going to be doing a map talk. And when we do the map talks, we give everybody a paper chart and pens and stuff so they can write on the charts. We're going to tell them different fishing spots. We're going to make sure everybody knows where they are and tell them how to get in the spot, how to fish it, where to go, what to do, so that, you know, that's one of the map talks that we do. And thank goodness for Betty Stogler at Sea Grant, who supplies us with all the paper charts, because for this one, we've got to have 120 charts. So, let's see, South Cove Cove Canals.
A lot of bass up in there lately, getting a few reports of some snook as bycatch with them. And then the guys that are fishing the mangrove shoreline along basically that big, the lake or the big rim canal, whatever you want to call it, the topwater bite's been good over there for some snook and some juvenile tarpon and a few oddball jacks. So it's been not too bad of reports back in there, just scattered. You know, the only thing I didn't hear about this week was the cichlids and the tilapia. Usually at least the bass guys even catch a few of those as bycatch, but nothing. So,
okay. Let's see. The west wall.
A lot of snook moving down it. There's snook scattered all along the whole thing. A few redfish being caught as bycatch. There has been a couple scattered pompano up on top of the bar. A couple of small cobia. Some assorted small sharks, from bonnet heads to sharp nose to black nose. There's even been a few juvenile tarpon rolling on the inside of the bar in the trough there. So kind of a good all-around mixed variety of stuff going on there.
It would be so much easier if I could type.
Yeah, you still type a lot faster than I do.
And Cape Hayes,
pompano, Spanish mackerel, bonnet heads, some snook along the bushes, ladyfish, a few incidental trout, and geez, I mean, what haven't they caught there this past week, really? I've heard of so many different fish over there this week, it's kind of funny. Spanish are on top of the bar. Guys were catching them in 2 feet of water while drifting across looking for bonnet heads and trout.
Really?
Yeah.
Spanish don't even like shallow water.
Nope. They must be just scooting across that fast or something and coming across them. Because the guy said they got three of them. They got bit off twice and landed three. And he said, we're in two and a half feet of water. Like, that's nuts. Get up there in that skinny water.
You know how they talk about climate change idiots? You know, they're... Mm-hmm. Of course, the climate change. We had Dust Bowl in Arkansas. We've had droughts in Georgia, Alabama, where they're fighting over water, and then they had. Now it's all flooding. Of course, the climate change changes all the time, you idiots. But we're going to have to come up with a term for fish change. why are the trout not in November, December the way they usually are, but there's more numbers now than there was in the winter months when they should be here?
Right.
Why are mackerel up in, you know, 2 feet of water on the sandbar when they should be out in 6-8 feet of water?
Yeah.
You know, fish change.
There you go.
I mean, of course the climate changes. Morons. All right. You know, well, then again, we're knocked back to the Stone Age because Al Gore told us, you know, 15 years ago that life would be over now. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bull Bay, Turtle Bay.
Quite a few trout, some ladyfish, snook and redfish, mostly snook up along the bushes and some of the deeper troughs. There's been some juvenile tarpon way in the back of Turtle Bay and along that deeper shoreline that goes over to Bull Bay. And then there's still been some sheep's head cruising around some of the little oyster patches and the mangroves and underneath the shacks. A few bonnet heads in there also, so kind of a good mixed variety of stuff. You know, once again, the bigger snook being caught on cut ladyfish in there. You know, the smaller snook are being caught on white bait. So if you want to catch something that's more impressive than 22 inches long, throw out some ladyfish and sit back and wait. That's definitely been working better on bigger fish. If you're feeling real saucy, throw out a whole ladyfish and see what happens. You know, it's not too bad. But snook are endangered, so who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how all these groups, the conservation and eco and save those for those and all that, you know, they put up these big fusses about all this stuff because they're all basically social media creatures now where if they see it on the internet twice, it's a big deal. And heaven forbid they should be able to remember more than 2 Facebook posts ago. And they don't have any sense of history, flow, continuity.
Well, they remember history if it offends them or goes against what they're thinking about.
It's convenient memory loss. They don't remember history. They just hear and react.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference between remembering history and hearing and reacting. And it's all about hearing and reacting where, you know, any person who's ever walked in the woods or through a desert or farm country, if you're standing there and you don't know where you were, how are you ever going to get where you're going?
Right.
If you don't know where you were, you will just walk in a circle and end up right back where you started.
Yep.
And then you got to do the same thing over and over again. Yeah. So always remember the history, good and bad, and it helps with fishing and it helps with life.
Yes,
so,
it does.
Cape Hayes, Danger Reef.
Spanish mackerel is about the only thing I've heard about besides a couple of oddball sharks of assorted sizes. But decent amounts of Spanish mackerel roaming that whole area. No, you know what? There was a school of big jacks that has been coming and going through there pretty regularly, too. You know, guys are catching those while trolling or seeing them come up blowing up on bait. Forgot about that because I was at the... last Sunday, I think the neighbor told me about it as he was coming through.
Yeah. Hopefully, most of the remodeling's done here now, and now we're down to cleanup and painting and getting all that stuff done. And, you know, we're getting into that. Once that's over, maybe we can actually go fishing a bit.
That would be nice.
Yeah. So, we're getting really some nice. More help. I mean, you know, so hopefully that's working. All right, Gasparilla Sound.
Gasparilla Sound, let's see, all over from Devilfish up to Placida. Small sharks, black tips, small bulls like up to 5 foot, bonnethead sharks, Spanish mackerel, a few small bluefish, some ladyfish. And then you get up to the shoreline, now you're talking more snook, especially if we cut ladyfish again. And then the few oddball redfish, but very few. And then there's still been some sheep's head moving along the shoreline up against the mangroves and the one oyster patch that's over there, what, by it's that sand fly or whatever, isn't there? That oyster patch that cuts over towards Wind Bay.
Right.
Right there, there's been some good sheep set on that off and on. But they're clearing out, so it's kind of less and less each week. It's been too warm for them. They boogie. But that's the cool part about this time of year. If sheep's head doesn't work out, turn around and cast out more in the open water and try to catch yourself a Spanish mackerel or a small shark. Have a good time. Change things up a little bit.
Yeah, have one person fish out towards, you know, the oyster bar, and the other person fish the other side of the boat.
Yeah.
You have two sides of the boat. You can fish both of them.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. The Placida Trestle, Gasparilla Pass.
All around the trestle itself, there's been some sheep's head, a few more mangrove snapper moving in there. There's been pompano coming periodically between the trestle and the bridge, but there's been some bigger pompano underneath the bridge in that deeper water, so you got to drop down like a half ounce banana jig or crazy jig, pompano jig, whatever you want to call it, and work those pilings real thoroughly, real slowly, and see what happens. And then there's also been some bigger black tips, a couple of bulls, some tarpon have been there sporadically in the evenings and at night, but not consistently, just kind of off and on.
Okay. Well, it's going to take us up to Lemon Bay.
Lemon Bay has been getting a little bit better reports. A lot of snook activity coming from up there, underneath all the docks along the mainland side and all several of the canal systems that are going up into it. And then the open flats are getting some better reports of some Spanish mackerel in that 3 to 5 feet of water range, with a couple of bluefish and a couple of small sharks. And then there's been a handful of trout. There's not a lot of them, but they are at least a little bit bigger trout, like in that 18 to 20 inch range. Guys are catching those just drifting, either using shrimp or throwing a shad tail, paddle tail bait on like an 1/8 ounce or a 1/4 ounce jig head.
Okay. And unfortunately, I wrote the word "the" twice, so I gotta stop and redo it.
That's kind of funny how that works.
Yeah, I don't know why I can't get that one THE instead of HTE. The pier there in Englewood, Anger Pier?
The Anger Pier and the Tom Adams Bridge both kind of seem to be simulating each other. Ladyfish, some snook, some juvenile tarpon, a few whiting, a few snapper, and a couple of pompano. And they're catching them from boat and from the pier itself, so we've got kind of a good little mixed bag going on there. But there has been quite a few people fishing the actual Anger Pier this past week because of spring break for other parts of the state. Been coming over here, and it's a fairly easy access one, so if it's a little slammed, move around.
The west coast of Florida is a great day trip spot. This is really truly a day tripper area. Because if you live inland in Florida, it's nice to be able to just go out and see a little blue-green water along, you know, the ICW, the Placida Trestle, Anger Pier, and all that. Up north into Englewood and up by Venice. I mean, it's really nice to be able to get that change of pace, do a little bit of different fishing. I mean, the bass fishing in Central Florida is awesome, you know, and the catfish and the gar and everything else. But just to be able to go down and come down for a day, spend just the day, or, you know, stay over in a motel or something, just have a nice little mini vacation.
Right.
And that's the one great thing about this area, is it's still pretty good for that. You get a lot of the areas in Florida that have lost, and even we've lost quite a bit of access to the water, but we still have a lot more than most areas.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's still nice where you can go to Stump Pass or, you know, Gasparilla, the state park, or out to some of the piers, and yeah, really just have a nice,
oh, absolutely,
nice day. And you catch some fish, it makes it kind of awesome.
Yeah, break something not, and you get to see some salt instead of fresh, and catch several different species.
So, Venice jetties?
Spanish mackerel, a few sheep's head, a few pompano. But Spanish has been the main thing everyone's talking about up there. It's been pretty good. Lots of little bait fish everywhere. Small greenies, not really cast nettable, but they're at that perfect size where a 1/2 ounce spoon works perfect to catch those Spanish on.
Okay, out in the Gulf of Mexico.
Honestly, it's been a little too sporty this week to get any good reports. It's beautiful today. We have sold a ton of frozen bait yesterday and this morning for guys going out and taking advantage of it, but I have no accurate report this week on it.
All right, Boca Grande Pass.
Tarpon have been out there with pretty good consistency. They're not chewing great, but they're out there pretty good. There's been a handful of bigger sharks, some bull sharks, a couple of sandbars, oddball hammer, cruising around, checking things out, looking for more numbers of tarpon. Lots and lots of Spanish mackerel through the whole pass, with some bluefish and ladyfish mixed in with them. And then from the shore guys, they're catching some pompano, a few sheep's head, incidental whiting, and incidental pompano. So a little bit of mixed variety of things going on there also. I mean, it's kind of the theme, and I think it'll be that way for the next several weeks, because this is like one of my favorite times of year because the amount of variety of species that there are.
All right, Captiva Pass.
Captiva Pass is almost a mirror image of Boca Grande, except for the tarpon part of it. Not hearing of any tarpon down there, but bigger sharks, smaller sharks, a few pompano, a few whiting, a few sheep's head, Spanish mackerel, ladyfish, small bluefish. Just kind of that whole mixed variety. And I think the Spanish have been pretty thick down there because there's been a lot of small fry down there also. But where it opens up in that big flat out just inside on the SCW makes it really nice.
Yeah, I love fishing there. Redfish Pass?
I got nothing.
Walking the beaches.
Walking the beaches. It's been a little lumpy out there a couple different days, but they right along Inglewood Beach, they've been getting some pompano, a few jacks, a couple Spanish mackerel moved in close enough to catch those from the shore, and some guys were seeing some snook out there also. And the way they were describing it, I think they're actually up towards the middle beach, but they swore it was Inglewood Beach.
Yeah. Okay. Ponarasa, Sanibel?
Ponarasa has got some snook starting to sit up underneath all those docks over there. And then the Sanibel Causeway, guys are fishing underneath it, catching snook, sharks, one cobia, a couple oddball trout, and then at night they've been getting into some pretty good tarpon, you know, in that 40 to 100 pound range. A little bit better quality fish down there at night. You know, the shark guys have been having fun because a couple guys have been coming in here and just being undergunned, and then another guy comes in and says, well, I got a bunch of little black tips and I couldn't catch anything big. So there's a mixed variety of sharks down there. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a couple big Jewfish / Goliath.
Okay. Anything on Estero?
I got nothing down there.
Okay, Coosatchie River.
On a mission.
Yeah, she looked really upset.
Yeah.
What the hell that was all about.
I don't know.
Coosatchie.
I got nothing.
Cape Coral.
Cape Coral guy went down there bass fishing and did pretty good. He was using shiners, and then he was also throwing the, Berkeley, that spinner.
Oh, the Topwater prop bait?
Yeah, you sold him one, and he came back in to buy two more because he got one. He was getting one for his buddy, and he was telling me he's been doing some shiner fishing down there and doing well on that and the other. I just can't remember the name of it.
The Berkeley prop bait.
It's a Berkeley prop bait?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a retool, remodel of the Whopper Plopper, but and what's funny is like several companies have come up with that because the Whopper Ploppers were doing really good as kind of a modified buzz bait.
Right.
But Berkeley is the least expensive and seems to work really well.
Right.
And it's just all around pretty good. We've been kind of going more and more on the Berkeley baits price-wise and – you know, built wise, they seem to be pretty darn good.
Right.
I haven't really done a lot of Berkeley baits in the past, but some of their new designs or their copies or whatever they are, actually, you know, for price point, durability, right, catchability, Berkeley's doing better. I'm kind of impressed. Matt Lachey?
Matt Lachey's got quite a few trout, but most of them are on the smaller size, from like 14 to 16 inch range. Been some ton of snook from the Matt Lachey Bridge all the way south to north and over towards the Cape Coral canals. Been some Spanish mackerel down there sporadically out in the main channel. A couple of oddball bluefish, and then there has been a variety of sharks down there also. Some black tips, black nose, Atlantic sharp nose. A couple of bulls of decent size cruising right along the flats, chasing some of the ladyfish in Spanish. So it's, and there's a lot of bait fish down there from what I hear. So I think that's one of the factors that's playing a role in how many varieties of fish are going on down there.
God, I can spell straights, but I can't get the to come out right. No, actually, I can't spell straights either. Let me do a spell check on here. Okay. Okay, that was spell check ending. All right. I thought I could spell straights. So I looked at it and said, nah, that can't be right. Got the little red line. All right. Pine Island Sound.
Pine Island's doing really well on some bigger sharks, some tarpon, Spanish mackerel, ladyfish, bluefish. And then up along the shoreline, there's been a handful of sheep's head, some bigger snook, and a little peppering of redfish down there. Heard of two redfish that were over 30 inches down there that were caught this past week. So it's been not bad. A lot of variety of stuff. Some of the night guys, there's one guy that works out there by Yuseppa, and he's been doing some night fishing and catching some big snook and a few big sharks. So he sets up his rod, does his work, comes out, checks or listens for it. And then he's also been taking his breaks and catching some snook. He came in here and bought a couple more Rapalas the other day because the colors that you and I picked out for him before were working really well. And then he couldn't remember the one color that you picked out. So I pulled out two of them. I said, it might be one of these two. And he said, that one. So no hesitation.
It's really weird. Over the years, I look at people like the weathermen. They change the weather report constantly. They've got a gazillion dollars worth of computers and all this other stuff. And you and I are right more often, just off the top of our head. And the best answer is always just the one you give and forget about.
Right.
You know, but yeah, we are right more often on colors, fish, places, bite, you know, where, how, what, then pretty much any weather thing or all these other people who get paid to guess
and analyze stuff.
Right. We make less money and are right more often than any of them. It's not fair.
No.
Because, you know, we just time and time again, you know, and I would say the one thing, if you've never met Robert, you got to come in and talk to him sometime. I mean, he's a walking encyclopedia. He knows everything about all these different things. And the way it goes is people ask me questions and go, I'm not sure, I'm going to have to talk to Robert. And then if Robert doesn't know, we can go up the food chain to biologist and all these other people. But it's just, I'm staggered how often we are right.
Yeah. Never really thought about it before, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, between you and I would say we're running 80, 90%. You know, talking to people, I'd say at least 80%.
Yeah, I'd say 80% would be
easy.
8
out of 10, we can tell people this is what you do, and this is the color you use, this is the bait you use, and do this and do that. I think we hit about 8 out of 10.
Absolutely.
Which is pretty good for a couple, you know, idiots that work in a bait shop, you know.
Yes, that's true. It's kind of sad and funny at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just weird. I mean, obviously we have a little bit of time and experience.
Right.
But I know people have been in shops for a lot longer, or as long as us, and just different.
Yeah.
So, woman, and the hard thing to do about finding people in the store is finding somebody who fits in, and with the people that work here, and the customers who come in, because we have a different group of customers. They're not normal.
No.
They're not this. I don't know. I guess they got to be the same people you meet everywhere else, but in here it's different. They're just more fun. We had a buddy of mine all stressed out. I said, man, come in and hang out in the store for a few hours and just talk to people, help them, you know, with what they're doing and where they're going fishing. I said, it is the best therapy. If you're paying a psychiatrist $175 an hour to tell your problems to, okay, you can save some money. Just come in here, hang out, talk to people about where they're going, what they're doing, what fish they're catching. It'll do you more good than anything I can think of. Just come in, hang out, talk to other people in the store. I would say more than half of the stuff sold in this store are from one customer talking to another customer they don't know.
Absolutely.
About what they caught and where they caught and what they were using and all the rest of that. They all get together and chat. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anything quite like it. I don't know if you and I have anything to do with it or not, but it's literally one guy sitting in here, he's looking at a lure, and guy's, you know, over there, and the guy says, oh, where are you going? Okay, well, here, I would use this, you know. It's just awesome. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I'm a little tired. I'm really sore. I know every vertebrae in my back, every muscle. I was on scaffolding, running up and down the scaffolding yesterday, doing some cosmetic changes to the building. But whether it's cosmetic or whatever it is, that's a lot of lifting, working, and toting and nailing. And
it was pretty warm yesterday out there.
Yeah. I look like a can of smashed butts.
Right.
All right, Jug Creek.
Spanish mackerel and a few ladyfish, and lots of little bait all around it. No trout, no snook, no nothing else but Spanish and some ladyfish. And the Spanish have been good size, you know, 20 inchers.
Okay, Burnt Store Two Pines.
Down by Two Pines, getting some better reports of some bigger snook, a couple of oddball redfish, and a couple of trout. Other than that, going up towards Burnt Store, been a little on the quiet side.
All right. East side of the harbor?
East side of the harbor's got some bonnet heads, some small sharks, some small cobia, and a few tarpon on the outside of the bar, along with a couple schools of big jacks. And then on the inside of the bar, a few oddball trout, a lot of snook moving around over there, and a few redfish. And a bunch of manatees and dolphins, at least on the northern end.
Okay.
Went out with Carl with the family the other day. I was like, yeah, we might get lucky today. We'll definitely see Flipper at some point, but we might see some manatees. And I was telling them about the cow nose rays getting ready to school up, and it's that time of year, and they're kind of intrigued by that. And Carl slowed down right at the mouth of the channel markers at Alligator Creek, and we saw Flipper and more Flipper all the way down as far as you could pretty much see down the east side. But there was a group of them right in front of us, and we sat there. Next thing you know, four snouts pop up, and there are some manatees. So we drifted kind of closer. They came towards us. His bilge pump turned on, and they even got closer. They thought they were going to get water. And then the next thing you know, a whole school of cow nose rays comes right through all of them. I'm like, there you go. There's your trifecta in one shot. Hopefully the fishing will turn out that good. So it was pretty cool. They got to see all that in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Pretty enjoyable.
This time of year, the east side is just so enjoyable. If, you know, if you can get the wind where it will blow you along the sandbar.
Oh, yeah. That's
and
awesome.
You go either outside or inside the sandbar and start off 3 or 4 feet of water. Just turn the boat off and get everybody out and around. Good polarized glasses, some big hats so you can see in the water. And just shut the boat off, make like a hole in the water, and just drift along watching in the water. The amount of different stuff you see is spectacular.
Absolutely.
It's like going to one of those marine aquariums. all of a sudden there's a stingray, you know, on the bottom and gets pushed off. The trout go by you, the ladyfish. I mean, you can see sharks. You can see all this stuff just by standing in the boat and looking in the water.
Especially this time of year because the water is so clear on that east side. It's pretty awesome.
You know, if you're going to go out and you like visiting aquariums and seeing all that stuff, you can do that in real life. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go to all the glass and concrete. Just go on the east side and just drift along with the boat. Just shut it down, get real quiet, and just watch over the side. And then all of a sudden, you will start seeing so many amazing things.
Right.
And I think sometimes people get so wrapped up in where they're going and what they're doing, or I'm going to go fishing, that they forget. I mean, take a minute to, you know, fill... You know, I hate to sound corny, but, you know, enrich your soul, you know, like, you know.
Reinvigorate yourself. Remember what got you excited to begin with about this area.
That could be it. It could be just, you know, taking that minute to calm down, relax a little bit, take a breath, and just look at some stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's time to fish, and, I don't, you know, all the excitement and all that, that's all good. But sometimes it's just nice to take a step back and just look. And go, wow, it is cool.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
All right, Alligator Creek.
Alligator Creek's got some big jacks in it, a lot of snook. And then as you move way up inside and towards Burnt Store Isles and Meadows, jacks, snook, black drum, juvenile tarpon, mangrove snapper, a few oddball sheep's head. Kind of the whole mixed gamut of stuff cruising through there. Guys are trolling, guys are just blind casting, guys are fishing off their docks. It's been pretty fishy back in that Burnt Store Meadows, Burnt Store Isles area.
Yeah, it's funny. It takes a few years once the locks, L-O-C-K-S, are removed. But then all of a sudden, one day the fish kind of find it, and then all of a sudden more find it. And, you know, and then you get back up in these canals because most of the people... go from there to go fishing.
Yeah.
Because if you live on the east side of the lake, the fishing's way better on the west side. But if you live on the west side of the lake, the fishing's awesome on the east side of the lake. You know, and I get it, because if you pay $12,000, $14,000, $20,000 for an outboard, you darn sure want to, you know, run it a bit.
Right.
But still, sometimes there's no place like home. Click, yeah. Click. There's no place like home. Click, click.
Right. Okay. Absolutely.
Ponce de Leon Park.
A few black drum, some jacks, some small mangrove snapper, and a handful of snook. One guy caught a cobia off of there that was just barely legal. He thought he had a couple other ones on, but never saw what they were. So it's been not too bad over there. The black drum have been of assorted sizes, from 10 pounds up to 50 pounds. And guys are just soaking dead crabs on the bottom for those. A couple guys caught them on shrimp, too. But mostly a crab thing.
Okay. PGI canals.
Snook. Lots of nice snook. And they're moving a lot. So today they're at this dock. The next day they're 20 houses down. big jacks. Juvenile tarpon. The snapper in there have been decent, but most of them are on the smaller side. But at least rod benders. And that's about it.
Gilcrest Pier.
One guy got a small cobia and a shark in the same day off of there, and it looked like a baby bull from the picture that he had taken. So at least that's finally a report from there in a long time.
The Alligator Creek Reef.
A few Spanish mackerel, but overall pretty quiet. Never heard anything consistent at all there.
For some reason, I'm doing Spanish as S-P-N-S-H-I. Good God, what's wrong with my fingers? I'm doing it all day today. Deep holes in the harbor.
Some Spanish mackerel. Been a few tarpon out there. And then a few small sharks. Not killer yet, but definitely getting much, much better.
Well, actually, I've been hearing quite a few sharks out there.
Yeah.
And... The they're thicker in the middle hole.
Okay.
But the start of the incoming, the, I guess you say the lower hole or Pirate Harbor hole is better. I haven't had much on the northern hole, the 20-foot hole, but the other ones are doing good.
Okay.
Any freshwater stuff?
A lot of bass fishermen going on. There's a lot of 2 to 4 pound bass around in all the canals, Port Charlotte and Northport. And most of them are being caught on shiners, but a handful of guys have been kind of mixing it up this week between lizards, worms, and a few spinner baits. And then one guy bought a whole bunch of those new Strike King, the ribbed ones.
Oh, yeah, the Rage Tails.
Yeah, he bought, I don't know, half a dozen yesterday. And he's really liking them, and he's using them in a lot of the ponds up in Arcadia and around here, but mostly up in Arcadia, and he's really liking them. I forget the next big town up on the river above Arcadia. That was where he was from. Somewhere in Hardy County.
Godwatchula?
Yes, there you go. Knew as soon as I'd hear it click.
Okay.
He said the river stayed flowing pretty good up there all winter up there.
Yeah, it's been a really weird year because I watched the, how do you spell Arcadia? A-R-C-I-A-D-A? No.
A-R-C-A-D-I-A.
There it is. I don't know. Not my day. But watching the river as much as I do in the rain and all that, I really did not see where the water is coming from.
Right.
And the only thing I'm thinking is maybe they've gotten so much rain north of us.
Right.
It's filling the underground reservoirs. You know, we have all those underground rivers that come from Georgia, the Panhandle, all that. There's all those things that come from underground.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that water that we get down here is underground fed.
Right.
And I've been thinking that might be the possibility of why there's been so much water in the Peace River, even though there's been not enough rain to support that height of water. If the underground caverns are full, it comes up into the rivers. It's when those underground waters are lower and empty, all the water's going down into that, we don't get any flow down. And I'm thinking all that rain up north has really kind of come down through the underground.
It's the one that makes the most sense.
The only thing really feasible as to why there's so much water when we don't have the rain to quantify those kind of numbers.
Right.
All right. The tarpon map.
Okay.
Red dots, best bet.
The Knapp's Point off of Sanibel.
Okay.
Boca Grand Pass. There's a dot for night fishing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There has been, I'd say that those would be the two with the red dots.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 50-50, I'm going to say ICW from Captiva Pass up through into the 20-foot holes.
Okay, Captiva Pass, go up the intercoastal.
Go up the intercoastal pass, Patricio and all that. Because there's been some along that front side there out in the straits.
All right.
And then into the 20-foot holes. And then up in the Peace River from 75 up to Harbor Heights, Shell Creek. And even north of Eljo Bean also, there's still been some up there.
How far up past Eljo Bean?
Almost to the 41 Bridge, about 3/4 of the way up. I mean, up to the 41 Bridge. Sorry.
Gotcha. All right. We've still got white dots, which is a chance, or pink dots, which is night?
Pink dots.
Okay.
41 Bridge, Eljo Bean, Tom Adams, Sanibel, and the Cape Coral Causeway. Cape Coral Causeway and Sanibel have been really good for quality fish. The other bridges have been mostly that smaller size, 10 to 60 pounders.
Okay. All right, I'll save that. And as soon as I get this saved, okay, 04 space 06 and 19. All right, any kind of thing you can say about the tarpon fishing, big fish, either the Pass or Knapp's Point or anything?
The ones off of Knapp's Point have been a little easier to catch. They're hitting them on shrimp, a few on crabs, definitely some on bait busters. And then the ones in the Pass, they've been mostly on shrimp, but it's been like either night or...
Wait a minute, early. What did you say to do off Knapp's?
Knapp's are shrimp, crabs, and bait busters. All have been working really good down there. A couple guys have been catching them on some of the jerk baits, like the fluke style jerk baits, the small ones of 5 to 6 inches. And then the ones over in Boca Grande has been early morning bite with shrimp, squirrel fish. Also pinfish have been working okay, but nighttime's really been pretty much the best time for them. And then it's kind of weird because they're all over Max. The ones in Pine Island Sound and the ones in the 20-foot hole, ladyfish and bait busters. That's what they're catching those on. They're just drifting ladyfish and throwing bait busters and drifting those even. So there's no real consistency, I should say, because usually ladyfish don't work as well this time of year, but that's been the best.
Now, how would you fish the bait busters?
Honestly, I would just cast them and kind of let them drag. Have one already on a pole to cast for the occasional rolling fish, but I would just keep them down low to the bottom and just lightly jig them, you know, move the rod tip about 2 foot instead of the full 6 foot like we a lot of times do when we're sweeping it. You know, just smaller hops and just let them just go nice and slow because the water's still cold enough that the fish aren't showing themselves greatly. But if you get it down in front of them, they seem to be eating it.
Okay.
We got a whole lot of bait busters in again finally, which is nice. Finally caught up ahead of it a little bit, I think.
Well, that's, I'm sitting here asking, you know, why are we ordering them, you know, 4 dozen at a time when we need 6 dozen, 8 dozen, 12 dozen at a time, just to, so we don't run out in a couple of days,
right?
So, anything that you can think of?
Other than just be prepared for everything out there right now and just have a good time. It's beautiful weather. Fishing is getting better each day. You know, take advantage of all the varieties of fish we got to choose from. Don't just pigeonhole yourself because that species might not be working that well that day.
Well, you can pigeonhole yourself, and if that's what you enjoy, go out and fish for them. If they're not in one spot, give it half hour, 40 minutes, and go to the next spot.
Right.
You don't have to, once you drop your anchor, you don't have to put up a mailbox.
Right.
You know, you don't have to move in, and it's not a permanent thing.
No.
So, move around a bit. A lot of trolling is working really good. Storm Twitch Sticks, Rapala X Wraps. Awesome stuff to troll, and this time of year I'm going to put out a normal lip lure on one side. I'm going to put a rattle trap out the other side. Nothing gets attention like a rattle trap, and this is a good rattle trap time. Silver and black, all that kind of stuff works really, really good.
Right.
So any last words that we rambled on past our music?
I think we rambled good enough.
Alright. Fishing Frank here, Robert in the chair across from me, I'm just a beat up, tired old guy, man. I am just whooped. But enjoying life, it's kind of nice to be able to make everything look a little better, do a little better. Really looking for a little time off, but in the meantime, not all bad. Not all bad at all. Say goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.
Kenny Youngman lives at Fishing Frank's. All right, we will see you after a while. Who was the comedian who said that? Was that the Johnny Carson show? We're gonna have to look up that. All right. Anyway, see you later, boys and girls. Bye-bye.